The reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 14, and it can be found on page 950. Ephesians chapter 3. Prayer for the readers. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Also, the problem is that the disciples are looking at this situation in completely the wrong way. They're not looking at it as in terms of being followers of Jesus. They're convinced that they don't have enough, and that closes everything. They're convinced that there's not enough because they're focused on what they don't have. They don't have enough is the thought that's in their hearts. But at the same time, while thinking that they don't have enough, they're not thinking about what they've already got. What they've already got is Jesus. Jesus has been performing all these miracles, and his disciples have already been with him throughout the performing of those miracles. So they've witnessed for themselves firsthand just what Jesus can do. So why are they thinking, is Jesus not able to feed this huge crowd? The disciples don't seem to believe that Jesus can do it. There's no recording in that gospel anywhere of them saying to Jesus, you are Jesus, you can do this. Because they're just thinking there's not enough. It's the end. It's almost as though they're looking at Jesus as some kind of resource that's running out. He's only able to do so much and then no more. And they want to make sure that they use this resource, this Jesus, really carefully. But of course, has God ever been a scarce resource? Is Jesus a scarce resource? With him, there is always going to be enough. So he doesn't play by the rules of economics. And so in the story, he teaches us a completely different way of looking at the world around us. Jesus teaches us to look at the world around us through God's eyes, through the lens of abundance, if you like. And if we look at the world through the lens of abundance, it's really going to change how we see things around us. When we look at the world in terms of abundance, of there being enough to go around, instead of things being scarce, amazing things can happen when we allow God into the situation. And in today's gospel reading, the key point is when Jesus receives these 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, the first thing he does is he gives thanks. He gives thanks for what's there. He's not worried about what he doesn't have. He's thankful for what he's got. And so, after giving thanks, he distributes the bread to the 5,000 people, the fish as well, and everyone has as much as they want. Everyone eats until they're full and satisfied. And then Jesus begins to teach them what it all means. Because remember that with Jesus, there's always going to be enough. We may not feel as though we've got enough. Enough wealth, enough time, or even enough faith. Sometimes It may seem that all we've got in our hands is 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, and we don't feel that that is going to be enough. How is that going to feed the 5,000 people? How is that going to solve our own problem of feeling that we don't have enough? What can we accomplish with so little? But allow God into the situation. And then that gospel reminds us that what we have is far more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. What we've got is Jesus. And Jesus is always enough. He's always willing to take whatever meager gifts we feel we've got and we're willing to share. And he's ready to give thanks, he's ready to bless them, and he's ready for us to share them with the world. And so Jesus makes sure that what we have to share, is always going to be enough. Maybe we could call this gospel economics. With Jesus, there's always enough. Without Jesus, there never will be enough. With Jesus, 5 loaves and 2 fish are more than enough to feed a crowd, a huge crowd. And just to emphasize his point, Jesus makes sure that there's actually more than enough. 12 baskets of leftovers, in fact. So we clearly worship a God who is full of abundance and not a God who is full of scarcity. That's the miracle of that gospel. That's the story that's at the heart of our faith. To keep proclaiming in many ways that with Jesus there is always enough. With Jesus there's enough love, enough hope, and enough faith. There's also enough time, talent, and treasure too. There's enough in Jesus of everything that matters, that everything we're always going to hunger for. Think of the Israelites in the desert in the book of Exodus. God still gave them enough to eat, even when they cried out. And the crowds came to Jesus hoping for miracles, but what they actually got was something far much more than that. They came to Jesus, and in Jesus they found enough for their needs. So too, we can come to Jesus. We can be fed with the living bread from heaven, which will feed our hungry souls, our souls that are looking for and are crying out for Jesus. And then we're to go in the name of Jesus to feed the hungry of our world with the bread of life. We're to share what we have, that faith, that hope, that love, that worship, and our time, talent, and treasure. And we should never doubt that with Jesus, what we have, what we give, will always be enough, because we will allow God to bless it. Thanks be to God for all good gifts. Amen.